Morning. How are you? In about 14 hours, we're going to be kind of like entering into the new year. 2018 is coming. And I was thinking about like what I'm going to share on the last Sunday of 2017. And I was thinking, I always like to remember what Jesus had taught us, not to worry. So I guess this sermon topic I preached in 2015 on January 5th, Sunday. This was almost 3 years ago. And I repeat the same topic, but I preach it in the Cantonese congregation, but not in English. But I think this is a very appropriate message to share on a new year or at the year end, to remind every one of us again and again that do not worry, do not worry. Why? Well, we tend to worry a lot, right? So let's turn to the Word of God, message that Jesus, the longest this cross in Matthew, starting from chapter 5, but we are not going to read so much, but we're going to read from chapter 6, Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and we're going to read from 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25, this is the word of the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One morning, Death was walking into a city when a man stopped him and asked what he was doing. Death answered, I'm going to the city and to kill all 10,000 people. And the man replied, that's terrible that you would kill 10,000 people. Death responded, taking people when their times had come is my job. Today, I have to get my 10,000. Later, as Death was coming out of the city, the man met him again, and he was furious. He said, you told me this morning that you were going to take only 10,000 people, but 7,000 die today. And Death answered, don't get me mad at me. I only take 10,000. Worry kill all the rest of the 60,000 people. do not worry. Are you a person who worry a lot? Do you tend to worry a lot? Some people kind of born to worry a lot, right? Is there a reason to be worried today? Yeah, I guess so. Most people would say there is, like this day, the high living standard in the Bay Area. Tough. The dishonest nuclear nations, you know, like North Korea this day, huh? The threats of terrorism and tension in the Middle East. Job layoffs continues even though the economy is running better and better. All this make for uncertain time, right? So what about the students? What do you worry? What is your worry? I think you have your other aspect of worries. Now, survey it so that more than half the Americans report irritability, anger, fragile, or fatigue, and a sleeplessness. Now, almost half say that they self-medicate by overeating. They eat a lot. Some people, when they depressed or they worry, they eat. Or indulging in unhealthy food. Money and the economy top the list of stressor for at least 80% of those surveyed. Finances now overshadow the more typical daily stressors of work and relationships in America. But here Jesus is telling us, do not worry. But you know, some worry is good, right? We tend to have worry anyway. But Jesus here, he used an important conjunction. If you look at verse 25, it starts with a conjunction, which what? It's therefore. Now, therefore, at the beginning of verse 25, meaning that the following Jesus the cross is related to the above. That what he's going to talk about is actually is a relationship that he continued to talk about the verse 24. Because in verse 24, he said, the last part, he said, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve God and mammon. That means money. Now, since man cannot serve God at the same time, they pursue money. Because if man to pursue money, there is no need to worry. Why? If someone have money, then the money can buy what you need. If you have money, the money can buy what you want. So you don't need to worry, right? You want to buy a new clothes? Yeah, go ahead and buy it because you don't worry about it. You have money. So in Chinese, we are saying that if you have money, if money can solve a problem, there is no problem at all. 钱解决的事就不是问题了. There's no problem at all. So, but the thing is, Jesus said, if you determine to pursue God, now the question is, will these people still worry about material? Do they still worry about what they need? Jesus mentioned here that the birds are not sold or reaped or stored away in barns. And then he also saying that the lilies in the field are not laboring or nor spinning. Now Jesus here is to emphasize that these creatures are lack of so-called subsistence guarantee, or like in a modern word, we say they have no social security. Yet, this creature can still survive just with the resources that the nature has to offer, because God care and feed them. Then, what about the people he loves so much? The answer is, Because God loves us. Jesus is talking about the greatest, not the lesser. People are the creatures that are created by God, that God loves us so much. Of course, he cares about us because he cares the birds. He cares the lilies in the field. Of course, when God loves us so much, of course, he will care about us. Now, here I have to point out that don't worry doesn't mean you don't plan. If you don't plan your works and work your plan, we shall be a fool. Now, secondly, don't worry doesn't mean you are not concerned. That means don't worry doesn't mean don't be concerned. If you are not concerned about your education, then you are a terrible student. If you are not concerned about your health, you are a fast food junkie. So you need to have some degree of healthy concern. This is something that you do say, I don't worry, then I don't concern. But that's not true. I have to point out that you still have a plan and you still have to be concerned. Because there is a difference between concern and worry. What's the difference? Concern is when you can do something to help a situation, so you do what you can do. But worry is when you can do something, but you don't want to leave it to God. You just hold on to it, and you start worry. So that is the difference. You worry because you don't trust God. The fact of the matter is that you don't trust God. So Jesus called those people, oh, you of little faith. Worry is a demonstration of faithlessness. You don't have faith. And some people even call it a sin because you don't trust God. And you think God can't do anything. So just slap the love of God, meaning that, God, you can't do anything. You can't help me. In this passage, Jesus provides an argument from greater to the lesser. He asks, is not life more important than food and the body is more important than clothes? Since God gave you life, he can surely sustain that life. Almost Jesus was saying that. If you are going to worry, at least worry about something important, such as your life. I think Jesus understands human being. He was a human. He understands we tend to worry a lot. Okay, if you worry, oh, that's okay if you worry, but worry about something important. Not the food, not to drink, not to clothe, but worry about your life. We worry whether we are going to have enough to eat, right? A lot of things, you know, in the old days, in ancient time, during Jesus' time, there's a lot of farmers. They don't have enough food to eat, so they worry a lot. And Jesus said, we better worry about whether we are going to be alive to chew. And God says, if I'm going to wake you up tomorrow, I'm going to feed you. Now, which is easier, feeding you or waking you up? Don't worry about breakfast tomorrow. Rather, worry about whether your heart is going to stop tonight. Some people, you know, they just thinking that I go to bed and I can kind of wake up in the morning. But some people, they can't. They die. So if you are determined to worry about that. Worry about whether you can still alive and your heart is still pumping. Most of us don't worry about stuff like that. You know, Pastor Sam, you know, I don't even think about, you know, what happened. You know, every morning I wake up, you know, what big deal is it? But Jesus said, you know, you better, maybe you had to worry about it. You better worry about whether, you know, you can wake up in the morning. And Jesus saying that if God has the power to keep you alive, and he can wake you up in the morning, then he will see to it that you will have something to eat and something to wear tomorrow. So why worry? Do you think that to wake up in the morning is easier? No. It's by the power of God, it's by the provision of God that he wake you up in the morning. Of course, if he wake you up, he'll give you something to eat to sustain your life. So that means if you buy into a creator God, you must buy into a sustainer God. He sustains you. Now let me ask you, if a jeweler gives you an expensive diamond ring as a gift, will he give you a box to put the diamond ring in? Even the box is very beautiful and costs some money. Of course. Similarly, if the Lord gives you life, he will definitely take care of that life, will he not? Of course. This is kind of a rhetorical question that you don't have the answer, because the answer is already yes. Worry is an exercise in futility, for it cannot add a single hour to your life. Jesus is saying that. You worry, you worry a lot. And worry cannot add 18 inches to your life path. In the original language of this passage, Jesus is using the arm length here. It's about 18 inches. You worry cannot add 18 inches to your life path. After you have done all that you can, make sure you do that. Don't worry and be hopeful in God. Trust God that he will take care of you. Now, after Jesus explained why we should not worry, then he gave us a commandment. Of course, everybody knows what is that commandment. What's that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, what? And his righteousness, right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The word seek is in present tense, which was used to describe the activity of a hunter who hide in a blind to hunt birds. The hunter focused his whole mind on those birds. His eye always looked for them. He kept his bow and arrow always ready, because the bird will be within shooting range for only a moment. So he is constantly alert. So just as a bird hunter, making the birds, you know, hunting for the bird is the center of the hunter's attention. So you are also to make God's kingdom your top priority, your focus of life. To seek kingdom, his kingdom, is to focus on the ultimate. Now, I don't have time to explain what does it mean by the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But I can summarize in an exodus that to seek his kingdom is to focus on the ultimate realization of God's sovereignty on earth. That his sovereignty on earth, that means his kingdom, meaning this is what his territory is. Expanding the sovereignty of God on earth and also in our hearts, in human hearts. Occupy not only the earth, but also in the human hearts. And at the same time, kingdom citizen will bring forth justice and demonstrate Christ's love by obeying God's will in their life. That means they are seeking the righteousness, build the relationship of God, to build the relationship with people, because we love each other, we love God, and we love people. And that's what we're talking about, to seek for his kingdom and his righteousness. Remember that it's a territory, it's a sovereignty of God expanding, and the love of the Christian demonstrated in front of the people, how they love God, and so they love the people. So seek is not just a prayer. Seek is an action. This means if you are to be anxious about anything, you should be anxious about the affairs of God's kingdom. Jesus is telling us, yes, go ahead, worry, But don't worry too much about what you dress, what you drink, what you eat. But you better change your priority in life and be anxious about seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's a priority of life. That means when we try to be making resolution in a new year, what are you trying to do? Try to think about tonight. What is your priority besides studying, besides working, your family? Are you setting your goal? Are you setting your priority right? And Jesus is telling us we have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So dear brother and sister, do not worry. Switching your focus. Changing your priority. Look up more to discern how our Heavenly Father cares and provides our lives. Look around more to see other people. To see other people's needs so that we can extend our helping hands. But look less to our own physical needs. We know the word joy, right? J-O-Y. The J starts with Jesus. The O starts with what? Others. And then the U is you. If you want to find joy, it has to be in this order. This is called the principle of joy, is to have Jesus first, and then the others, and then the last one is yourself. There are two seas in the state of Israel, at which Jesus used to work around there very often, 2,000 years ago. One is the Sea of Galilee, with a lot of fish and evergreen trees all around the shore. The other one is what? The Sea of Galilee, and the lower part is what? Some people can, even though you don't know how to swim, you can still floating over that sea, is the Dead Sea. Where you cannot find fish there, and the water is so salty to drink. Now, these two seas are so close to each other, yes, there's so much of a difference. The reason is that the Sea of Galilee received a lot of water from the northern part, the upper part of the River Jordan. And then it continued to flow down south. However, the Dead Sea only received the water, but it does not flow out. And every drop of it that comes from the Jordan River, it remains untouched in that sea. And so that's why they call that sea, dead. In the same way, if we only receive and do not willing to give, and we only care about our own needs and not the others, we will be as dead as the Dead Sea. And our worry will not be resolved. But on the contrary, if we are willing to give as much as the Sea of Galilee and are willing to care about the needs of the others, our worry will therefore have outlets. Do you have friends to talk about your worry? There's outlets. If you focus on helping the others and think less of yourself, there's outlets. And things can be resolved without you worrying too much. Because Jesus said, worry cannot add 18 inches to your life. My prayer is that in the coming days, this church, 4C Church, should pay more attention to seek his kingdom and his righteousness and to put up an action plan. This spiritual family not only continue to focus in spiritual growth and maturity, which is, this is our 2018 coil theme. If you see that, this year, today is the last day. Used to call our theme is what? We love this family, the God. But tomorrow is a new theme coming up because we'll pay attention, more focused on building each other spirituality, the spiritual growth. We will focus on the spiritual growth and maturity in 2018, but at the same time, we have to make the gospel of Jesus Christ be visible through us in different walks of life, such as our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and our families, so that this inner community can also be connected with the outer community. And this will be our 2019 call theme. We are not saying that this is not important. We have to focus on the Word of God. So we build our spiritual growth. But at the same time, don't lose sight. Make the gospel of Jesus Christ be visible. So this is the plan ahead in 2019. So when we have our focus and goal aligned, we will naturally let go of our individual problem and even the grouches between his people. In fact, one of the main reasons we are worrying is because we pay too much attention to our own things, and we are so obsessed of feeding our own ego. This day, Americans are too obsessed to feed their own ego. In school, everyone is so fantastic. Everyone is doing so great, right? At home, we had to be like doing all the positive words, you know, no negative, because build them up. So our ego is being fed every day. Now we have a big ego. Every American walking in the street, walking tall. Well, this is good. I don't mean that it's not good, but watch out. Don't let yourself getting too big. And it's because of that, you become a hero, right? Everybody wants to be a hero in America. You know, Superman, you know, Iron Man, what man, every man is super. I don't know how many men are super. Anyway, everybody thinks they're super. They're great. But Christ taught us not to be like that. God taught us to love one another. Pay attention to others. Did you pay attention to your friend next to you? Changes today? Is he or she tired? Lonely? Worrying? Depressed? Or very joyful? Think about that. However, when we turn our focus from the lesser, me, to the greater, the kingdom and his righteousness, and the people around us, I'm convinced that our worry will naturally be diminished. If you are a chronic worrier, I'll give you a suggestion. I find it quite helpful. Now find a box and tape it on and then cut a hole. And I'll call it a worry box. Whenever you feel worried, then you kind of like write your worry on a piece of paper. I have my worry this morning. A long one. And then I'll put it in a box. And I'll say, Lord, this is my concern. And it has the potential to become my worry. But you have told me not to worry. So here, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it into my worry box and let you take responsibility of it. Anything that I put in this box will be there because I can't handle it. Once it's in the box, I'm going to trust you because I know you can handle it for me. I think on this side, the younger generation maybe don't have that much worry, but on this side, maybe you have more worry. This is a good one. I put it there, and I can sleep well because I don't wear this anymore tonight. I have one more tomorrow morning. I put it there too. And by the end of the year, we will see, oh, my worry is getting less and less. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Fog. F-O-G. Fog. can blanket a city of 7 blocks and be as much as 100 feet deep. Got it? 7 blocks, 100 feet deep. But if you can take the fog and change into water, it would only fill up a single glass. Worry is like a gigantic fog that can blind you and cause you to take your eyes off the Lord. But when you see worry for what it really is, you realize that it's nothing more than a male glass of water. When you try to grab onto the worry that you are consumed with, it is so fleeting that it isn't even there. Jesus said, God will guide you through the fog of worry if you let him lead the way. He alone can overcome your worries. The new year will come in just about 12 hours and 30 minutes. Is there anything you worry? Are you willing to put it in the hands of God and trust him? Tomorrow, the new year. And today, right now, is still 2017. Are you still facing tough times? Are you still having difficulties in your life? Are you still worrying that these troubles, these difficulties, this thing will carry forward to the new year? In Chinese, we always hoping that new year is something that we can start fresh. 除舊迎新. So in Chinese New Year, we had to clean up our room, clean up everything, you know, put all the rubbish and then best things away. 迷信, superstitious, you know. By doing that, this thing don't go away. But faith have carried us through the past 364 days. And I'm sure it will still do it today, the 365th day of 2017. God is still with this church. God is still with you now, tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, until we meet him face to face. What will happen in 2018? No one can know. But as a family of God, let us all stand together. Let us help one another. Let us all encourage one another so to trust him and be hopeful in living this life and make every day a meaningful and a significant days to come. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to trust God? Your future. I hope the word of God can promise. And because of that, it's motivate actions. Even though we worry, that's okay. Switch our focus. Change our direction. Focus more outward. Focus more outward. Make change to the priority of life starting 2018. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And Jesus promised that all these things shall be added unto you. May the word of God be here forever. Amen. Please be seated. I want to take about like 3 minutes to share something about my heart, my thought. This year ends soon. In the past 9 months, we don't have a pastor, really the core person kind of looking after, you know, manage and also share, you know, guide and lead. And God give us the blessing and also the, I think it's kind of the patience to wait upon his provision. And until now, we don't have any potential candidate to be interviewed, you know. And we still kind of put in into a prayer request that we pray for the pastor to come, you know. But I hope that my prayer is that starting tomorrow, New Year, look, I mean, if you right now look around you, you know, this day, average, we have about 35, you know, attendees, you know, for the English worship service. It's keep that level. But unfortunately, we don't have enough resources to kind of like even praise team, you know, leading sing, praise leader, praise team leaders. Ushers is sometimes they forgot about, you know, come early. And when we sing, we don't really participate. It's my heart that feel kind of like, God, you know, looking at the situation now, you know, what can we do? The first question is asking myself, what can I do? But then I think that this not just it's not just me. It had to be the family. It had to be everyone in this congregation. Even though you think that I'm young, you know, I don't really know what to do, and you know, but think about Terry. Terry just baptized April, right? Easter. And yet he had to start, you know, to serve and get involved in ministries. And I hope that you can be compassionate about this family, the church. This is where you belong. I mean, you've been here for quite a while. If your parent bring you here, you've been here for a few years. I see a little brown sister, you know, used to be very little, but now it's like a grown-up girl, you know. It's a lady, a gentleman. And I hope you can participate, you know, be passionate. Plus, I'm getting old, you know, I'm 62. And I don't have much more years to lead the congregation, but my heart is kind of pounding is that, you know, what happened, God? You know, I still have that excitement and I still have that passion, but God, show that passion and have that passion also bestow upon our congregation here. And look around, you know, in the empty chairs and empty seats, you know, we bring people coming. We're willing to come early, at least kind of like 5 minutes before the worship time and not kind of passing the 9:30 mark. Helping Peter to kind of really, you want to kind of piano, you know, I don't play well, that's okay. It's bad for Uncle Peter to sing along just one, you know, I'm just kind of kind of impulsive. You see, I see only one gentleman here leading a song, but yeah, Peter, I want to help because we are a team. And I hope also you have that kind of team spirit to come forward, to help one another. No matter who, what is your age, doesn't really matter. It's a family of God. We call you brother and sister. I can be your grandfather. Yes? Yes, I think so. But how come this Pastor Sam still a fire? Because I love God and I love you. And I want you to do the same thing to one another. That's what I want. It's simple, right? But I know it's hard. My mother and my dad bring me here, but I don't want to. I'm tired. And tonight I have a party. Maybe you find exciting to have a party than coming to worship God. And this is a celebration to meet God. And we should be excited, right? And this is my heart, my brothers and sisters. Otherwise, if God is actually kind of leading us in quite a while that we still don't have a pastor, then what happened? I mean, you can't be a pastor. We're pastoring one another, right? And we are Pastor Dan, but don't think that Pastor Dan is almost like over 80, but he's still passionate. Why? Because he's loved God. And I understand the adult here kind of like, Pastor Sam is boring. You know, it's only every time singing is no dynamic and it's kind of, oh, the message is a bigger variety. You know, I understand that. And that's why I ask for your help. And seek the kingdom of God. The place in our heart. How big is God here? This is the kingdom of God. And then his righteousness, the Christ
love compels us to love one another. This is righteousness.
It's not like deep theology. I know it takes about two or three sessions to talk about kingdom, but in simple words, it's love God. When God lives in us, it's bigger and bigger, and this is kingdom of God. At least here, and then expand community, society, nation, international. But God has his hand to work on his people, but at least we start here. This is the kingdom. Are we loving each other? This is righteousness. And this is my heart. Brothers and sisters, help me. Let's stand. And we see the benediction.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you all peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all we say, Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Let us have a moment of silence, prayer, and we dismiss.